sit on jersey in the stands. I'ma hit you on a slide.
What's your theory?
he said rabbit holes. That's what we lost you at. That's what you said. Conspiracy rabbit holes. Let's get back.
Yeah. So one of them was because flat Earth. I just can't I can't get there. I watch it because it's entertaining, but I can't get there. One that I can sign up for and I'll listen to is that the reason there's that treaty and that people can't go certain place, whatever, just past a certain spot is because there's aliens. So I'm here for that.
Oh, there's aliens on there. We allowed them to settle in the deepest part of Antarctica.
Right.
Does that also explain there's like a wall in Australia that no one's allowed to cross? Do you think the aliens are past that wall?
Wherever
too?
Humans can't go,
aliens exist. All right, I can get with that.
I'm
the funny part is, so beyond the Antarctic crust, it's funny. He said, so all these the other land masses beyond the Antarctic crust is extraterrestrial. So when someone says they come from outer space, yes, they come from out of our space.
Yes.
And I'm like, dude, that's... That's a reach, but I like it.
Oh, Jay's gone. He's already gone.
So, Haley, so you know what you missed was yesterday.
Get on with that guy?
I did. Yeah, I did my second interview for my show, the one-on-one interviews for The Fluent, and it was and it was the Flat Earth Dave, who's very popular. Very popular. He's got a wonder. I might actually pay the $3 and get his app because. It has all these wonderful little videos and stories, and actually you can connect with other flat earthers, like as well in That's your neighborhood. Awesome. Like say, hey, we got a flat earth barbecue. Come on down.
I need to sign up for this.
He makes like I was telling my wife
just for fun, like just learn. For fun.
He goes, look at this lake. How is this lake perfectly still? If the Earth is moving at 3,000 miles an hour like this,
it's called gravity. That's why. See, this is what I'm talking about, yo. Give me a break.
Hold on. There's gravity in your car, but if you are holding a cup of coffee and you take a corner, it spills out. No.
That's because I don't know.
I should have started this show 10 minutes ago so that we could have got this entire conversation. This is so great. I could do this all day.
You know what? We were supposed to go for like 45 minutes. We went for an hour and 15, and he's like, I can go more if you want. I said, you know what? I'm just going to have you back because
I'll be here all night with you. I would. I'll be here all night with you. That's how you get sucked in, Tone. That's what happens. And the next thing you know, 2 hours later, you're still here.
And I don't know if you've started this or not, Jordan, but I don't know if we're live. But I did the Flat Earth one with him. I'm inviting him back because I want to hear his we didn't land on the moon theory. And just so you know, Jay, this is your fault. Actually, it's my fault because you know how when we were doing, we do like a conspiracy piece, like a segment every week. Well, his team saw that we did a flat Earth one and they're like, hey, do you want to really learn about the flat Earth? And they connected me with him. And I'm like, and you know me, I'm like, yeah, of course I want to learn more. Bring it up.
Now you want to hook. Now you're on the hook.
Now I am going to have a barbecue. I'm going to go have a drink, with Kyrie. We're going to talk about the Earth being flat. We're going to talk about playing ball part-time. I'm wondering if maybe I can play the games that he doesn't play. Like, we're going to figure something out.
Oh, my God.
You'll get there.
Oh, my God. All right. Are you guys ready?
Oh, I thought we were live. Oh,
my bad. Great if we were my live. Bad. I didn't know. I would not never start it live unless you told me just to prevent any issue.
Oh, no. Just always start live.
All right. You guys are about to go live in 5, 4, 3, 2,
and we're live.
Fluent. If you want to continue this conversation,
no. All right, listen. I don't,
let the people know.
Actually, do we want to talk about this? No.
No.
Let's take a vote between the three of us. Do you want to keep talking about flat Earth? Yes or no?
Because I'm telling, we'll be here all day. Because what's gonna happen is you also had this compelling way to suck people in, including me. And the next thing I know is an hour later, I'm really now, my wheels are turning and I'm thinking, did we really land on the moon? Did that really happen? And now, all of a sudden, an hour later, we haven't gotten to the All-NBA team. We're not even talking about the playoffs. I'm still sitting here thinking to myself, wait a minute.
All right.
Is the Earth really flat?
Losing sleep over it.
Yeah, now I'm really, he's in my head with this. Is the Earth really flat? Which I know for a fact it's not, but...
more importantly, we do have a poll up. So for those 16 people who have already joined the live and who are obviously smashing the like button, we have a big dilemma. So I want to hear your take, and then I'll let Haley take it away to talk sports. But right here, you guys have all, you all know my hair. It goes to about down to here. I cut it. It used to be down to about here. So it's now about this high or long. I've now finished shooting the show that I needed the long hair for. So Dem Ones is, I've wrapped it. It's going to come out in July, the TV show, the Toronto comedy Dem Ones. I'm going to say it one more time. So now I can do whatever I want with my hair. And so you guys know my hair normally is very, very short. So in the poll we have, should I cut my hair short or leave it long? What do we think? Let's start with you two. What do we think? And then we'll let the other people in the chat vote.
Well, I'm wondering what was your typical? I mean, have you had long hair for like a while previous
never.
To shooting?
Nope.
Okay, so this is new.
How do you like it?
Okay.
I hate the comfort of it.
I hate it.
There's hair everywhere. It's always in the sink. It's always in the in the shower. I always get yelled at because I don't clean it up as thoroughly as I should. I always have to wear it up because otherwise it's just in my face. So I absolutely hate it. But my daughter's like, I really like it, Daddy. So I'm like, okay, I'll keep it a little bit longer. But now she's like, okay, you can cut it if you want. So
she's ready.
So no one has voted. There's nine votes. How are we doing? So Haley, what do you think? Long or short?
I mean, you can't tell because it's back, you know? So I think it's cool to kind of have that ability to do whatever you want with it. But I know, my hair is not even that long, and I know how much it takes to take care of it.
Jay?
But I think short would be nice for this summer.
Jay? I got to ask Jay, and then I'll tell you how Jay insulted me the first time we met.
Well, Tom, you can't put this up and have your hair back. You gotta give people options. You gotta drop the hair. You can't just have it.
Yeah, that's true.
You gotta drop the
pictures.
Hair.
Whoa.
There you go.
Okay. I don't even know if I've seen it before.
There you go.
Now just keep in mind. I have cut it. Professor. It used to be like to here, but now so I did cut it because it was getting crazy.
I dropped the hair. So okay.
Actually in one of my scenes in the show, I like fling my hair back and like put it in a ponytail.
Don't do that. That's not funny.
God,
what? Tone, did you just flick your hair back? Is that what I just saw?
I had to do it for the show.
I had to flick his hair back.
I'm going to actually send you the clip. I have that clip where I have my employee sitting in front of me, the main character in the show, and like I flip my hair around and I put it into a ponytail. I'm like, this is the second time you've been late this week. And he's like, I know, but the bus and the nit and the nit. Like that's actually a scene in the show. And now I just ruined it. So now I got to take my these off. So, okay, just so you guys know, Jay, it wasn't the first time we met, but Jay and I started to do Floon and Chill, and there was this other show called Table for One. And it was like a wannabe kind of around the horn type of show. So I brought Jay on with the guys that were trying to get us to be on it. And I said, hey, do you want to be on this show? And Jay's kind of like, and I'm sorry if I'm speaking out of school here, Jay, I'm going behind the scenes, letting everybody know. And the other guys were all very young. And he's like, you know, I don't know if, you know, I want to be with, you know, you guys are like 18, 19, 20. We're older than that. And, you know, I don't want to be the guy at the club with the ponytail. And I'm like, whoa. The old 40-year-old guy with the ponytail. I'm like, whoa, he doesn't know. I'm like, Jay, man.
Which I did. And I didn't even notice that until I said it. And then he shows me the man bun. And I'm like,
whoa.
All righty.
It was almost the end of Fluent and
So Haley, to give you some context on what it was, we were like what we're doing right now, if you can imagine, there's two other people here, right? And in the process of us, two other people here, it's you and a bunch of like 10th graders. And you're looking around like, yeah, this is nice, but I think that I might be a little bit out of place here, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be the chick with the caked on makeup in the club. Meanwhile, there's a chick with caked on makeup here. And you're like, whoa, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should have said that.
TikTok. You're on TikTok? Right. Right. My question before we get into it, how did that occur, both of you? Like, what prompted you to start? Were you already on YouTube and then you kind of transferred because of the growth? Or how did you get on TikTok and grow so large?
I started, my best friend told me about TikTok. He's like, oh, my kids love it. And I'm not a social media dude. I don't have any Facebook. I don't have no Instagram. What's that other one? Snapchat or Twitter. I only have Twitter because of Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams. That's the only reason why I got Twitter. I don't even post anything on Twitter. So I don't have any social media. So he tells me about this thing. I'm like, all right, I'll take a look at it. I'm not really going to do anything with it. So I start scrolling through it. And this one guy, I'll never forget him. He calls himself Boom. All right. Boom is getting on it. He's talking about Jordan this, Jordan that, and you know, what did Jordan do? And then I'm not really paying much attention to it until he made a post where he said that 1986 Jordan, that team that he was on, he had help. And I was thinking, whoa, wait a minute.
Oh,
Orlando. I remember that. Orlando Woolridge.
He talked about Orlando Woolridge, and I was like, wait a minute. Okay, stop right there, because I was around when that team was playing, and no, he didn't. They were Oklahoma City with Jordan on the team. That's who they were. And I made a post about it, and the next thing I know, it's turning into something completely different, and then now people are asking me questions, and I'm just answering questions, and I'm basically kind of debunking theories, and the next thing I know, I'm now the OG. I'm like, so now I got to keep doing this. What the hell? So, all right, this is what it is.
I love that. That's awesome. And then Fluent, same kind of thing for you, or were you already? I mean, I feel like you're everywhere. Like, you're just everywhere. So.
You know, it's funny because I had no social media. The only thing that I was on was LinkedIn because for my business. And I started doing, because of like my background and some of the people I know, I started doing like little guest spots on like ESPN radio, on other sports shows. Like they'd call me in and like ask me like five questions for 5 minutes and then I'd be off. And so I was actually doing an automotive podcast and I was like, and I looked at myself one day, I was like, I hate this. Like I'm so like, I don't want to talk about cars. I don't even like cars, but it's been an industry that I'd been in for 20 years. So I was like, you know, people want like with Jermaine, it's just like, people were asking me so many things about buying cars, selling cars, how to, cause that's what I knew. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it all day and all night. So then my wife was like, you know, you really like you talk sports all the time. You do all these guest spots. You get so excited when people call you up and say, hey, can you come on? Like when they call New York ESPN radio called me up and said, hey, can you come on for 15 minutes? I was like, oh my God. Oh, right. Wow. Everybody listen. She goes, why don't you just start a sports podcast? So I was like, okay, cool. So I started just by myself. I was just giving my takes and people were listening, but no one knew. They're like, where do we find you? I'm like, what do you mean? And people would ask me like, I go nowhere. Like on the podcast, go to Apple, go to Spotify. And like, you don't have like a Twitter. You don't. I still suck at Twitter. No one follows my Twitter.
Yeah.
And I said, no. So I started a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram. And what I kept seeing on Instagram, because no one wants to see pictures of me, right? But Instagram is pictures of, look how pretty I am. No one wants to see that.
Maybe
and
your
so
hair.
yeah I didn't have the hair back then. And so and then I kept seeing these TikTok videos showing up, kind of little clips of them on IG. I was like, what is this? And the kids are like, oh, it's this, you know, dancing app and people are getting millions of views. And on my show I actually interviewed a girl, Jade Vincent, who's got like millions of followers on TikTok for like doing dancing or whatever, right? And she goes, oh, you should totally, like she connected to me on LinkedIn trying to get like a business side, like a marketing business going. And so she's like, oh, you should totally start a TikTok and just talk sports. I'm like, no, who's going to listen to me talk sports on TikTok? So I went on and I did a couple of them and they were horrible. No views at all. Oddly enough, we got to thank Boom, man. So then I see a Boom video talking about Jordan, or no, I think it was Clyde Drexler had no left hand. You never see him do a layup with a left hand. And that was Jordan's best competition. He sucks. So I was like, I'm pretty positive I've seen Clyde with a left hand. And don't I just go look and boom, 92 finals, beating Jordan off the dribble and going up with his left hand. I'm like, really? Boom, here's his left hand. And same kind of thing. And then people were like, oh, ask me questions. Like, and then and then the whole sports fluent thing, they were like, people were saying some dumb stuff. I'm like, okay, I got to teach these guys something. And I get in trouble. People love Jay. They hate me. So, you know, whatever. It works. It works.
Hey, you have, everybody has their, you know, their lovers and haters. So that's part of how it goes. But
I do have to say something, Haley, though, because in the chat, they're asking who you are. So you might want to just reintroduce yourself, because hopefully they know me and they know Jay. So we should introduce the moderator.
Absolutely. Well, my name's Haley.
Chill.
I'm the and, yes. But I'm a TikToker as well. I have about 28,000 on TikTok. I've been doing it for like 7 or 8 months by now. So it's been a while. It's been a lot of fun. Built a little community on there. You know, sometimes I give my takes, sometimes I just do funny videos or duets, but it's been so much fun. But now I'm kind of, I think it's a good way to kind of like not only practice just speaking on these things, but also it's a little mini resume when you do go for, you know, jobs in the future. I mean, some of them, not all of them, but yeah, so it's just been a lot of fun. But now I'm trying to kind of work my way into working with you gentlemen, podcasting, because I'm going to school to be a sports reporter. So once I graduate, then I can kind of leap off the edge and do a little bit more. But for now, I'm just
JD reminds everybody the links for Out of My League, Sports _ Fluent, and Chilltown Hoops are in the description of this video. So don't forget to check that out and give us all a follow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so 60-40, by the way, is the cut hair. 60 cut, 40 leave it. So,
okay, all right, there you go.
So on Tuesday, if it stays this way, be prepared. Yeah, that's the final thing. 60 cut, 40 leave it. So we're cutting it, guys. I will go do that tomorrow. Next on Tuesday, you'll see you'll see it short. There we go.
Okay, well,
I wasn't kidding. I was gonna do whatever the chat said. I'm for real. All right.
I'm excited. We'll be ready for that debut. So as we start the show, I was just thinking we could just go through some of the playoffs. We watched 2 games since we last time met. Neither game was great. Warriors, Mavs kind of came back a bit. But if you want to break down a little bit and give us a quick take, on both of those games, and then we'll jump into the rest of the show.
Well, let's start with the one that just is so infuriating. Like we thought Miami would come back and play well.
Yeah.
And you had Kyle Lowry, like when people criticize him in Toronto and say, oh, he doesn't show up in the playoffs, you can't play 25 minutes and have 0 field goals. And I think 1 rebound, 1 assist, like you are the veteran leader of that team. Right. Butler. And I know he's hurting. I know that everybody's hurting. I get it. Everybody's hurting in the playoffs. As a team, you can't shoot 35%, 20% from, or 13%, whatever they shot, horrible from 3. You're not winning a playoff game against anybody. You're not winning a game against anybody like that. So I was really disappointed at how Miami came out. Kudos to Boston. Give their defense credit. Give their game plan credit. Right. I don't want to just put it all on Miami playing garbage. But Boston, yeah, listen, we all picked Boston to win the series. We thought they were the deeper, younger, more talented team, and they're showing that. I will say this: we keep talking about Tatum as being the next superstar. Jaylen Brown had a better game than Tatum again. So we might have to be talking about Jaylen Brown, because he's seems to be every bit of the capable offensively and defensively as Jason Tatum. Boston might have a really good problem. They might have 2 star/superstar players, which if they can keep them together, they're gonna be a problem. As far as the Mavs, and Warriors, I'm not surprised that the Mavs came out and played the way they did. They've shown that all kind of playoffs long, that when their back's against the wall, they come out and play well. I will say this: I think Steve Kerr may have cost the Warriors a sweep by putting in his starters when they were when they closed it. I think they closed it to within 8 with 3 minutes left. You reward those guys. You say, you brought us back, you stay in. Yeah. Because the second 100%. They started bringing Steph and those guys back in, the lead bulged again. Those guys were playing, that bench was playing with so much energy, with, hey, we've got nothing to lose, that I would have let them close it out. I just want to let them close it out and see what happened, because they're the ones that did the work. I hate that. Could you imagine? Just think of, you know, whether it's you're at school or at work, someone does like 90% of the work, and then, you know, your boss comes in and says, oh, hey, great, I'll take that, and takes all the credit for it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I would have been, oh, that really bothered me. That bothered me.
Well, just real quick, I think that, like, I think his mindset must have just been, well, we aren't going to win this game, let's put in these guys. And then when there's a shot, they're like, well, let's actually switch it up. And I get it in a sense, but I 100% agree with you. Like, those guys got there, win or lose, they get to finish it out. Let them do it. even it's good practice, and imagine what that win would do for their confidence as well. So I agree. It was a, I think that whole day though, just with everything that happened with the shooting, and then of course with you know, the rain and the arena, it was just a tough day all around. So it was good to see the, I don't know, the, it was just a tough day all around.
Why don't we trust history, Tone? And the reason why I'm asking you this question is because when we see it, we're so surprised about it. You being from Toronto, you know this better than any of us. If I'm not mistaken, Tone, do we remember Kyle Lowry in the 15-16 playoffs? Did he not go down in history of having the worst shooting percentage of a guard in the history of the playoffs? Did he not do that? So with that being said, why are we surprised when he goes 0-for-6 or he has another bad shooting game? I'm not surprised at that at all. The problem that I'm having is that him, Struce, and Victor Oladipo go 1-for-22 from the floor, including 0-for-15 on the long ball. Now, that works when you're a great defensive team. The problem is that you're going to have to score. Miami has that kind of team where their offense is generated primarily from their defense. If buckets isn't going, none of those other guys are giving them anything, period. Even when they're rolling, their offense is predicated on their defense generating offense for them. So you get a team that's more talented offensively, like the Boston Celtics, you're not going to be able to hold them down the entire game. Let's not forget, you had them 26 in a hole at one point, and they cut it to 2. So you're not going to be able to hold that team down the entire game. You held them down in the first half the way you did, but at some point, and you know I stand on this, Tone, as just thinking about teams playing being defenders, you have to guard in the playoffs. But with being able to guard, you have to score. And if you can't score, it's like a pitcher. I can throw strikes all day. We got to hit the ball eventually, Tone. We can't just keep throwing strikes all day. So, and in the same idea with the Dallas Mavericks, that team's offense is generated from Luka. If Bullock, if Kleber, and Finney Smith aren't hitting shots, they're not getting anything from those guys. We're talking about a crew. Yes, we're talking about a crew on Tuesday. They went 12-for-20 on the long ball. That's completely different from Kleber. Excuse me. That's completely different from Kleber and Bullock going 0-for-12 two nights before that. So we go from them hitting no shots to going 60%. Now that opens up so much more offense for Luka. Add that to the fact that they did a good job on Luka. Tone, I know you see the 30-for-14 from Luka, but he shot under 40%. Hmm. He barely shot 30% on the three, and they made it hard on him. I think this series is over. I think that they end it tonight. I think that Boston series is over. I think that they end that on Friday.
Yep. I don't disagree with either any of those points. I said it about Kyle Lowry. I said it about DeRozan. It's been like, at what point do you, they keep telling you who they are. You just don't want to believe who they are. They are who they, like they're always be who they are. And so I just, I'm disappointed that it got to this point, but listen, Warriors, Celtics, that's who we're going to see. I think that's who we're going to see in the final. That's pretty clear. And there was a point that I wanted to make and I can't remember it. So I'm trying to fill time until I remember.
I thought that Derek White and Al Horford, I thought those two guys really held it together for the Celtics in the first half because the Heat did a great job on Tatum and Brown. They did a really good job on those guys in the first half. We're talking about two guys that went 2-for-16, forcing those guys into tough shots, making those guys guard, which is the most important thing, making those guys guard, forcing them into tough shots. And then eventually they got going, and Horford and Derek White were able to help them out offensively. Tone, I can't say enough about Robert White. I can't say enough about what he brings to that team defensively because he completely switches up what Miami is doing offensively. When you got a man in the middle like that who rim protects, who rebounds, well, now they can't go downhill like they would normally want to as opposed to when he's out. Now that offense is completely different. It's almost like, and I hate to say this two-tone because I really dig Bam, but Bam looks at Robert Williams like a bigger brother. Like, I don't know if I can go after this dude. And when he's not there, it's like the bully of the neighborhood is gone when Robert Williams is not there. Yeah. Bam just basically can do whatever he wants.
I remembered what I was going to say. It's because when you said it's good to defend, but you got to be able to score too. And it, you know, we all heard the saying, defense wins championships. And that used to be very, very, very true. And I'm not saying that it's not true anymore.
Still is. Still is.
It still is, but it's changed because now it's defense. I don't think defense wins championships anymore. I think situational defense wins championships. And the difference is you have a team, you brought up Toronto. You have a team like Toronto that's great on defense, can't score. You have a team like Miami, great on defense. Sometimes they struggle to score. Whereas you have a team like, I know Boston's a bad example because they were the number one defensive rated team. But if you have a team that can score, that can play defense when they have to, that team, I think nowadays is going to have more success than just that defensive team that, you know, like we said, Miami, Toronto were teams that we were like, listen, I know they're going to be good defensively. They've put together this like really great roster of defenders, but where's the scoring going to come from?
Right.
And that's the problem because yeah, they might hold Boston to 90. That should be a win. The problem is they only score 80,
right?
And they lose. So you have to, so I think it's shifted from defense wins to offense with situational defense wins.
Well, wait a minute, though. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, Tone. When you talk about situational defense, that means that we only play defense when we have to.
You could play like you don't have to play. Let me explain it further. You don't have to play elite defense all the time. You have to play good defense or really good defense, but you're able to step it up when you need to. So like last 3 minutes of the game, right? You've played really good defense. Now you shut them down. Like, you know what I mean? Like you have that extra level of defense.
It does, but with that being said, we still have to be at a high level.
Oh yeah. Especially yeah. when we play. You can't be trash. And then turn it on. No.
Right. So when you go up against a Miami Heat team that, you know, they're predicated on getting their points in transition and off defense, but they also shoot the long ball at a high rate. And when you hold them to 14% in a quarter, well, what that does is that translates to later on in the game, where now if we held them to 14%, these guys are now looking at the basket different. They're not looking at the basket going, well, I'm going to keep shooting. Well, if a guy like Duncan Robinson went 0 for 4, is he going to keep shooting? Or is the basket starting to look smaller now? Of course it looks smaller in the fourth quarter than it did in the second, even though I still wasn't scoring in the second. So when you got a great defensive team like Boston, who is where they are in the second quarter, it's really important to maintain that or even raise that. What we can't do is we can't go under that. And I think that's where Boston excels.
You said something that I can't explain to people who have never play ball. But like you said, the basket seems to get smaller. And I keep telling people, and I'm trying to explain it to people, and it's just like, when you start to miss, the basket doesn't change. But like it feels like it gets smaller. And then all of a sudden you start to make shots. And I remember Jordan once saying that game against Portland where he's hitting all those threes. He's like, the basket just looked like a big old bucket. And like I just felt like if I just put it anywhere near, it was going in. Because it does. It gets bigger. So when you, like you said, when you shoot 14%, well, now it's like, oh, I got to hit it perfect or it's not going in. And, you know, it's just funny how that dynamic works.
Yeah,
where absolutely. Once you start making them, it's like you just throw up anything and you just know it's going in, which is crazy. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we had – all kind of had a sense coming out of this series, like Boston was going to, you know, come out. But unfortunately, I always root for the underdog and I really wanted Heat. I wanted it to go to 7 at least, you know, I wanted it to be a close series, but who knows?
I thought that this was going to be a 6-game series. I did. But I also looked at a Boston Celtic team that was more balanced offensively.
Right.
And I looked at this Miami Heat team that, you know, when your offense is predicated on you getting turnovers, well, that works against lesser teams. When you're playing against teams that have better offense and you rely solely on getting turnovers and getting out in transition, that's going to be a problem, especially when you've only got one guy who's primarily doing all the scoring. That's going to be a problem moving forward. And that's what's happening with Miami.
Miami – Boston was number one defensive team. Was Miami two?
Miami was number four in the regular season and number two in the playoffs. They're number four in the regular season, number two in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's you know, we never have full strength teams. I, you know, that's why I hate when like you bring up the injuries, but I hate when people say, well, they only won or they only lost because of this or that injury. No, that's part of the game. You're going to have those. But when I look at these two teams, if even fully healthy, if they were all perfectly, I still think Boston has the better offensive and defense, the better spacing, the better, they're just the they're the more talented roster. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, that's why I'm not surprised, because like we said, I think we both said Celtics in six. So I think that's what ends up happening. It didn't happen in the way we thought it would happen, mm-hmm. but I still think that's what's going to end up being it.
And to add to your point, Tone, I looked at the Boston Celtic Milwaukee series, and I thought that the winner of that series was going to win the Eastern Conference Championship, because I'm looking at Milwaukee and I'm thinking, if I'm Boston, well, we ain't going to see nobody that's tougher than Giannis. We're not going to see anybody that's tougher than Giannis and Jrue Holiday and have to deal with anybody like that. We look at that Miami offense, and those guys weren't as tough as those guys. And defensively, as good as they were, we handled Milwaukee, who arguably had the best defensive player in the game in Giannis. And I think Jrue Holiday is the best perimeter defender in the game. I do think he's better than Marcus Smart. I know I get a lot of heat for that, but I do think that he's a better perimeter defender than Marcus Smart. But
better than the defensive player of the year?
Better, yeah. I mean, hold on. Now, let me ask you this question, Tom. rewind the clock back to 1996. Is Gary Payton a better defender than Jordan?
In what year?
1996.
Yeah.
The year. And just so you know, Gary Payton won a defensive player of the year that year.
Oh, he's a better defender. That year.
Nah.
In 96? Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's the same logic as saying, yo, okay, I won the league MVP, so I'm the best player in the game. Well, are you? I mean,
let's not get into that whack.
Well, actually,
criteria
let me pause
MVP.
You both here, because this is a good segue into what we're going to talk about next. Because you know, the media can have so much impact on voting for these positions and these awards. And so we're going to talk about the all NBA teams next. Mm-hmm. I'm going to first read off all three of them. Then I'm going to get your opinions. And then we're going to talk about, do you think the voters and that whole system is a good system, and how maybe the media has impacted that. So I'll start off with the first team, which is Luka, Book, Giannis, Tatum, Jokic. Second team is Steph, Ja, DeMar, KD, and Joel. And then third team is CP3, Trey, LeBron, Pascal Siakam, and then Carl Anthony Towns. So
Tone loves that, by the way. That Siakam pick. Tone loves it, by the way. I love it.
I was surprised. I'm happy for him. I mean,
I love that pick. I love that pick. Yeah. We keep this right here.
I think he did deserve it.
I do.
I agree. So, anyways. Are there any names that just pop out at you and say, whoa, like that, those should be switched, that doesn't belong there, or are you pretty comfortable with every single team?
Well, the first thing that I want to say, go ahead, you go, Tom, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because we did our first, second, and third teams.
You did?
At the end of the regular season.
At the end of the regular season.
And I feel like
similar?
They're very similar. Like, I had Jokic, Giannis, Luka, Tatum, and I had Ja, but I admittedly said I'm a big fan of Ja, so I put him there. The second team, I had Embiid, and then I had Booker instead of Ja, obviously. Steph, Durant, and I feel I had LeBron instead of DeMar. And then I had Karl Anthony Towns, DeMar DeRozan, Chris Paul, Trae Young, and Pascal Siakam. So it's all the same players, just a couple of minor tweaks on my end. Yeah. So I'm not angry about anyone. I don't think anybody got it. You know, there wasn't like a huge snub. I feel like, based on what they did this season, part of it is the media narrative. Yeah, those are the right 15 guys.
Well, to start, I don't understand why DeMar DeRozan was listed as a power forward. He's been in the league 13 years.
As a shooting guard. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
10 of the 13 years he's been listed as a two guard. That's number one. Number two, I had DeRozan first team in front of Book. If you look at the numbers, they're very similar. Book went 27-5-5. DeMar went 28-5-5. I think the disparity was on the defensive side of the basketball. DeRozan played eight more games than him. Not only did DeRozan play eight more games than him, he had them at the top of the Eastern Conference, holding that team together with glue and tape, right? So Caruso was out of the lineup. Ball was out of the lineup. Williams was out of the lineup. Zach LaVine was in and out of the lineup. And they were still at the top of the Eastern Conference, primarily because of him. Book went out of the lineup, and he was missing games, and they were still rolling. So I actually had DeRozan at the top. I had him in. I had him as a first teamer. Second team.
Can I pause you there for a sec? Can I pause you and ask you a question? Because I think part of, again, the media voting was when Chris Paul went out, we all thought Phoenix would kind of drop out of first, or not, maybe not drop out of first, but slide. And Book kind of held it together with Chris Paul. Do you think that maybe is why they bumped him up to the first team? Because it was at the end of the season when they're paying more attention?
Well, not only did it bump him up, was we talking about Book at all during the season being in the league MVP votes? At no point were we talking about him. I don't think, but all of a sudden we get into the last 3 weeks of the season and now Book is in a conversation for being league MVP. Now, all they had to do with that group, because they were already 7 games ahead in first place, all they had to do was go 500 and they still keep that number one seed. And well, they did that.
Blame Haley's guy for that. Because it was Dame Lillard saying Book should be MVP. That's why he started getting MVP.
And Book is talking about, Dame is talking about Book being MVP. Absolutely. The guy that I'm particularly happy about making first team, and you and I have had this conversation, Tony, I'm really happy about Jason Tatum being first team. I thought that he was going to be second team, but I'm actually happy that he made first team. Because what he just suggests to me is he suggests that generational talent. And the more I watch him, he just looks like he's going to be around for a long time. He looks like he's just one of those guys who we're going to have to get used to seeing him because he's going to be around for a long time. I had James second team, and that's because DeMar DeRozan was listed as a forward. I don't even know why DeMar DeRozan was listed as a forward. I had Trae Young ahead of Ja. I'm having a really difficult time putting a dude that's almost 30-10, third team all NBA. I'm having a really difficult time with that. That sounds nuts to me. But that's just me. I know how dynamic Ja was, and he missed all of those games, and they still were rolling without him. But when I look at what Trae Young did, and not just his splits, how good he was for that Atlanta team, like I said, Todd, I'm having a difficult time. A dude being third team all NBA that was almost 30-10.
Remember that song as a kid? One of these things is not like the other. So when, when you look at the third team, right? Cat, LeBron, with Chris Paul, with Pascal Siakam, based on this season alone, you're like, yeah, those four make sense together. And then it's like Trae. Right. Whoa, Trae.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Like, no.
Trae this season played a lot better than those guys. So.
Yeah. And I always felt like, and I always felt like looking at Cat on the third team, and you and I have also had this conversation, Tone. I always felt like looking at Cat, that's Rudy. That was Cat's spot. Only reason why Cat's not on the team because Minnesota was trash. Coincidentally, and I'm not a guy who believes in coincidences. All of a sudden, the Minnesota Timberwolves make the playoffs, and who's on the All NBA team? Mm-hmm. Wow! How about that?
So you don't think Bam or Rudy got robbed? Because those are the two names I hear or I've been hearing since this came out.
We're talking about a guy in Minnesota who was 23-12 for like 4 straight years. For like 4 straight years, he's 23-12. And the reason why he wasn't on the All-NBA team is because Minnesota is whack. Okay? They're absolutely whack. So, and I do have to mention, which I'm also happy about, you are aware that Giannis is the 4th straight year he's been unanimously named first team All-NBA. That's the first time in 50 years that a guy can say that. That includes Jordan, right? That includes Magic. That includes Bird. That includes Shaq. That includes Bryant. Nobody else in the last 50 years can say that they were first team All-NBA, a unanimous pick, 4 straight years.
So since you brought that up, and I know it's 4 straight years, but since you brought that up, I like doing my fluent trivia. Mm-hmm. So 4 first-team All-NBA, 4 first-team All-Defense, 2 MVPs, mm-hmm. a Defensive Player of the Year, and an NBA champion. How many players in the history of the NBA have those 5 things?
4 of them. So you got
all
four,
five. All five.
All five of those. Four yeah. first teams.
So four first team all NBA, four mm-hmm. first team all defense, 2 mm-hmm. MVPs, a Defensive Player of the Year, and an NBA championship.
Okay, so that would be Jabbar, Jordan. Four first. Oh, you're talking about in a row?
Nope. Just. All five of those things, yes.
Okay, because Jabbar has 4 first-team All-NBAs. Jabbar does not have a Defensive Player of the Year. That's correct. You're absolutely right about that, so that's not true. So Defensive Player of the Year. Okay, so Jordan. Actually, when I think about it, it's just Jordan.
And now Giannis.
And Giannis, that's it.
That's it. That's the two.
That's it. It's just Jordan and Giannis.
Giannis just came into is that him and Jordan are the only two in NBA history to
that's
have
it. That's it.
Crazy.
That's it. Nobody else. It's just Jordan. Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling from here on out, he's just going to keep breaking records, keep breaking records.
He's the best player in the game, and I stand on that. There's nobody who can you can make an argument for other guys, but I said this before the season started. Giannis is the best player in the game, and I stand on that.
If he stays at this level for like 5 more years, we're going to have some real tough discussions about Giannis.
Yeah. Well, ask yourself this, Tone, and you, Tone, is an advocate of this.
I don't
Tone.
Like this. Yeah, I know.
Tone hates this. Tone hates it. If you want to get Tone blood pressure up, ask him about a guy in the top 10 that's playing right now. Ask him to put a guy in the top 20 that's playing right now. You will get Tone's blood pressure through the roof. You figure over the next 5 years, right? Let's say 5-6 years. If Giannis keeps this up, that'll be 10 years sustained at doing this, which means that over the next, he'll be 32. We have to start having this conversation, and we got to have a serious conversation. We're not just going to have a conversation. Well, let's talk about y'all. No, that means that we got to start looking at some of these guys.
If he has everything else. If he just keeps his stats up and gets, you know, maybe another ring or two, because he has all the accolades already. Yep. Right. So it's going to, I don't know.
Not yet.
For me, Haley, you don't know this. For me, 10 years. If you don't have at least 10 years of kind of peak, I'm not even counting. Like, that's why when people bring up, you know, T-Mac or Grant Hill, I'm like, did they have 10 years of peak? No, get out of here. Get out. If you can't do it for 10 years, that's my minimum. Okay. Heck, that would actually be my minimum for the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame would be nice. You could walk through it. It'd be open spaces. But anyways, another conversation for another day.
Yeah.
I think that's a good starting point to kind of vet who is and who isn't. But I would say, yeah, I think Giannis in a few years, we're going to have to discuss that. Do you have LeBron in your top 10, right?
He's the only active player that's in there because...
Hell, yeah, I had to twist his arm. Man, you know how many times me and this dude go, and I had to twist his arm. I had to twist this dude's arm. And not just twist his arm, only because he's still playing. Like, if he wasn't playing, this wouldn't be a discussion.
Like, if he retired tomorrow, I'd be like, oh, he's it's just,
I understand that.
I want to wait
till that.
But after 19 seasons, and the way I look at it is there's nothing he can do, positive or negative, that's really going to change. Like, where's he going to go from here, right? So, so I'm like, all right, fine. Like, the way I look at it, like, okay, I'm going to use a football reference. So I have someone, player's choice guy, Dub, who keeps putting Patrick Mahomes as his number 5 quarterback all time. And I'm like, you're crazy. You're crazy. He's only played.
What, has he been in the league 3 years?
He's been in the league 5 years and he's four? Only played has for really? 4 of them. Yeah, he's only played for 4 of them.
5 years now?
Yeah, and I get it. He's done amazing in his 4 years. But I go, what if he goes out the next 5 years and he stinks and he's throwing more interceptions than touchdowns and you know, he fumbles the ball. Well, now he's Dwight Howard. He's my best example. He's Dwight Howard, who came out and we're like, oh, Superman, greatest center ever. Oh, no, not so much. So that's why I don't even consider it until kind of year 7, 8, 9, but I want 10. And then I don't want to rank them until they're done. But again, when you've gone 19 years, I figure I know who you are by now. I hope. So I can rank.
You guys know, and Tone, you know this better than anybody because you and I have been talking a lot about it. You know how serious I take being an All-NBA performer. All you know NBA, how serious I take that. So when I see these teams come out and I see these guys, there's a difference between, and I hear this a lot, which burns me. You know, there's no difference between being a third team or a second team. Yes, it is.
Yes, there is.
There's a huge difference between being a second and a first team All-NBA performer. Because when we're talking about all-time greats, one of the first things we talk about is, yo, I'm an 8-time first team All-NBA performer, as opposed to I'm a third team All-NBA performer 5 times.
By saying it doesn't matter. So what you're telling me is I can take Kareem and say he's not top 5, he's top 15. Are you okay with that?
No.
I'll take LeBron. LeBron's not 1 or 2. He's top 15. There's a big difference between being top 15 and top 5.
Yes, it is.
Right? So that's how I look at the first.
It's not the same thing.
Team. Yeah.
That's why when these All NBA teams came out.
Is Siakam the same? Who's on the first? I forget who was the forwards on the first team.
Giannis and Tatum.
Yeah.
Is Siakam on the same level as Giannis and Tatum?
No.
That's why
he's really good. Siakam is really good. That's why I take being an all-league performer very seriously, because when you're an all-league performer, I'm the best of the best. And when I'm a first-team all-league performer, that means, especially when I'm doing it at a consistent level, as opposed to when I'm an all-NBA performer, I'm, I just, I made the All NBA team once.
First time, first team All NBA means I'm either, if I'm a center, I'm the best at my position, mm-hmm. or forwards and guards, I'm one of the top two in the league.
Yes.
Like
in
that's
the entire league.
That's big. Huge. That's big.
Yeah. In the entire league. Absolutely. And if I'm doing it at a consistent basis, that means that I was this for a long time. I wasn't just this for a year or 2 years. Because once again, Tone, we've seen guys like, for example, Julius Randle. Julius Randle is a B player who had an A year. Isaiah Thomas in 2016-17. He was a B player who had an A year. But when I get a guy like Karl Malone, who I was first team All-NBA for 11 straight years, you know what that means? I'm the guy at this position. Over a decade, I was that guy. I take that stuff very seriously.
And I think about it this way, too. If you think about first team, even first team, second team, you might argue who's the first, second, or third best forward mm-hmm. in the league, right? Sure, we'll have that debate. But when you're at the sixth, so when you're third team, so you're the sixth best forward in the league, there's probably 7, 8, 9, 10. There's probably four or five other people that might be interchangeable. You're as close to 10 as you are to six, but I guarantee you, so Siakam. Siakam's closer to 10 than he is to 3.
Yeah, there's a gap. In terms of talent,
right? So
yes, there's a huge gap.
That's the part I want to make clear.
Well, you just said it, Tom. When you look at Siakam at six, I mean, how much further is the gap between him and another forward, as opposed to how much is the gap between him and Kevin Durant?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. I feel like Brian Scalabrini. I'm closer to LeBron than you are to me. Like that.
Right. That's not the same thing, man. It's not. It is not the same thing. Absolutely not. So.
Well, and depending on the season, that everyone has injuries and all these other things can play into it. So for KD, he could have
He still played 56
KD
games.
KD versus Giannis. But you know what I mean. Like another year, KD might have a better.
Look, if KD plays 82 games, it's probably him in the first team and Tatum second.
That's
team.
What I'm
but
thinking.
That, but then you're but still you at can this still point, have I don't that even conversation, know. Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but moving on to the younger guys, because we just talked about kind of the older generation and where that's going. But now we have this whole new generation of young guys who are playing. Just they're insane, like you were saying. Tatum is going to be here awesome. For years to come. And I think we all know it. I mentioned this a little bit. I didn't love Tatum. I like him. I like who he is. I think he's, you know, a star power player. But now he's actually proving, because he had this rap that maybe he was kind of a playoff bust. You know, he struggled in the playoffs previously, but now he's showing up and showing out. And so I want to do a comparison of Luka, Tatum, Book, okay? Because they all three are some of the best young guys. They made it into the playoffs, some of them further than others. Luka and Tatum, we still have here with us. But I want to just break down where we see them going in the future. Rankings, whatever, if we want to do that system. Or just who's going to be around the longest and make the biggest impact on the league, if you want to start, Chill.
Well, Tone and I have had this conversation. When I look at Luka, I think that Luka's ceiling, he's closer to his ceiling than all three of these guys, because Luka's been playing pro basketball since he's 16 years old. So there's really not much more that I'm going to see from Luka in terms of development. I think he is who he is. Now it's just a matter of getting guys around him to just enhance, not just enhance his production, but to continue his production, because Luka is already who he is. I mean, his three ball is not going to get much better than it already is. His ball handling is not going to get much better than it already is. He could do a better job in taking care of his body. When we talk about a guy who's going to be great long term, I look at Luka and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if Luka continuing how he is in terms of his body, I don't know if he's going to be around that long. I don't know if he's going to hold up for another 12 years, considering if he doesn't take care of his body. But in terms of a talent, I don't think that there's much more that I'm going to get. He went 28-9-9 this year. I mean, how much more am I going to get from Luka? Am I going to get 37-11-12? I doubt that very seriously. But we're around year, what? I think we're in year four with Luka. And I stand on the logic that by year five, this is who you are. And no matter where else, you're going to have some better seasons later on. But by year five, this is what you should continuously expect from this guy. I mean, we look at Steph Curry, prime example. Curry had some better seasons later on. But in year five, Curry was 24, 7, and 4. Curry, for his career, he's 24, 6, and 5. So that's who these guys are. So when I look at Book, I think Book is who he is. I think Book is in year 7. I think Book is who he is. I think he's going to be one of the better two guards in the game for a long time. Now, when you talk about a guy like Jason Tatum, I think Jason Tatum is still developing. I think that I don't think that he's hit his ceiling yet. I think he's still going up. I think that once the game slows down for him and he gets that in-between, that mid-range game, when he gets that down, I think that we're going to have a serious conversation about him being the best player in the game, because I see the commitment on the defensive side of the basketball. I'm the most excited about him more than any of the guys that we've talked about. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge Book guy. I dig Book for his ability to score the basketball and his ability to just go at guys. Same thing with Luka. But I think that a more complete player is Tatum, and it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, I just want to interrupt you, because how many years has Tatum been in the league? Is it?
He came in with Luka. He came in the year before Luka. I'm sorry.
Year before.
This is year 5. This is year 5 that we're in. Yeah. He came in the year before Luka.
So this is Tatum's, I mean, if to your argument or what you were saying, this is his year to prove. So, and which he has. So he's following that. Also, I was thinking, I think it was earlier yesterday, what if Luka just comes back after the summer just like ripped? What if he does put work into his body, into what he's eating, into his diet, into his routines, and he comes back just, I mean, I know his body type isn't going to be like a Jason Tatum, but he could come back. Do you think that would change the longevity of his play and his ability to up those numbers consistently?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Haley, because I'm not looking for you to be ripped. If you remember, not this season, it just passed. Last season, we saw Joker come back. He was minus 40 pounds. And he looked great. He wasn't sliced up, but he looked great. And what ended up happening? He won the league MVP. So he took better care of himself. Same idea with Luka. When I look at Luka, I'm thinking about a guy who, if you could take better care of your body, you'll last longer and your play will last longer. One of the main reasons why a lot of these guys, James Harden is a prime example, why he's basically fell off a cliff, because James Harden was just showing up for years. And he was showing up for years, and it showed in the playoffs when he started to break down. If you take better care of your body, which you should be doing that anyway as a professional athlete, you'll last longer and your play will show. So I think that I'm looking at a guy like Luka. If he could take a little bit better care of his body, I think that he'll last longer and I think that his play will show.
Agree. Tone?
And let me start by saying Book, people, let me just say it. Book doesn't belong in this conversation. I appreciate what he does offensively. Blah, blah, blah. He's not in this conversation. He is not the same caliber of player, I don't believe, for his career that Jason Tatum will be and that Luka is today. Like, if I were to rank these guys right now, Luka's 1, Tatum's 2, and Book is like 7. I don't think he's in the same class. Score, listen, people love to look at scoring and they're going to say, oh, but yeah, I know. But that's all, like, he's very, I don't want to say one-dimensional, but he's a scorer. That's what he is. And that's great. It's very important. It sells tickets. People like looking at it. But I don't think he's in the same conversation as these two guys. So let's eliminate Book. And I appreciate Book, but let's kick him out. So right now we're looking at Luka and we're looking at Tatum. Luka has been a professional since he was 7. He came into the league as a professional, right? He's been playing against grown men like his whole life. So he came in ready to play. And we saw that. We saw that day one. If you look at his stats, even from his rookie season to year 2, like, okay, maybe they got better, but he's still like, he came in ready to play. He came in as a professional. The downside of that is we're not going to see a progression or this big leap in Luka's game, because he is already, like Jay said, 28, 9, and 9. Where's he going to go from there?
Yeah,
the reality is he's actually going to go down. And why he's going to go down is look at the team around him, because we always got to remember that. The team around him is a bunch of second rounders and undrafted players. That's literally his entire roster. So what's going to happen, hopefully, this offseason? Well, he's going to get better players. Well, with better players, well, they're going to demand some shots. They're going to need the ball. They're going to have to do things. So I think he's kind of plateaued. If he could keep the 28, 9, and 9, I think that's actually amazing, because he's now going to have to share. Maybe his assists go up and his points go down. I don't know how that's going to balance out. But I just think with better talent, his numbers aren't going to go up. When you compare that to Jason Tatum, we've seen the progression of Jason Tatum. He came in, right? He built on it. His game got better. His game got better. So although I've got Luka being the more talented, the more skilled player and the better player today, I'm going to look at it holistically and say in 5 years, when we look back, we're going to see that progression of Tatum. And although he might not be a 28-9-9 guy, he's going to be a 28-7-7 guy. But who do you want playing defense? And that's going to be, for me, that's it. That's where I go, okay, Luka's a more talented and more skilled offensive player, but he has no interest in playing defense. So if I have this franchise, I'm like, oh, well, he's putting this up. Tatum's putting up these numbers, one, with better players around him. So he's the leader of a better team. And on the defensive end, hey, you know what? He could play some defense too. So I think in 5 years, we're going to look back and say, you know, again, Luka more talented, but I'm going to give it to Tatum by a hair in 5 years. Today it's Luka, but I think Tatum has that. Now it's going to take something from Tatum. It's going to take consistency, which he does not have today. And it's going to take, there's this, that next level of his mentality. Can he, you know, can he really get, I don't want to say angry, but can he just take over, take control? Like if he's having a bad shooting game, can he will himself to then go be a shutdown defensive player, right? Will he take the last second? Will he take the big shots, right? Anybody, not anybody can score in this league, but there's a lot of people who could put up 25 shots and score, you know, whatever in this league today. But can you do it efficiently? And can you stop someone on the other end? And I think that's where Tatum has the edge over Luka. But like, again, if you ask me today, it's Luka. Luka's the better playmaker. Yeah. He's the better shooter. He's the better, like, he's the better all of that stuff right now.
And when I think about, I'm sorry, Haley, when I think about what you just said about Book not being in this conversation. Well, when I think about that, I think about Luka. Is Luka a franchise player? Are we building it around Luka? I'd like to say, yeah, I think we're building it around him. Jason Tatum is another guy. Are we going to build it around this guy right here? This is he's our franchise player. Am I building it around Book? I can't say with 100% certainty that I'm building it around Book. Now, that doesn't mean that Book isn't an important piece to what we're doing.
I would love Book on the Mavs.
He'd be great for them.
He would be great on the Mavs.
He would be great. Just a guy that Luka can go behind to just Luka. For buckets.
Yeah.
He'd be a guy. That's the guy. I mentioned this in the past about a guy that Luka needs just to go to for buckets, like a Carmelo Anthony type of guy where I can just get this guy the ball and he can work, right? And we can just get buckets from him. A guy like Devin Booker would be perfect for that. A guy like Zach LaVine, a guy like DeMar DeRozan, just a guy that I can go to like that. But am I building my unit around him? No, I'm not building my unit around him.
So just for those watching and for those that are going to watch this recorded later, Jay was mentioning the Carmelo Anthony type of player for Luka when he was live with Richard Jefferson. No big deal.
Oh boy!
Oh yeah, I saw you on with RJ.
There we go.
just putting it out there. But yeah, but it's that's that's how why I say he's not in that conversation, because Book, if he was on the Mavs, he would be the number two to Luka. And you know what? With Chris Paul going 38 soon.
Yes, he just turned 37 in this month. As a matter
this month,
fact.
Okay,
he'll be 38 next year.
So you know, maybe that's not a ridiculous place for him to go.
I don't know. What would Phoenix?
Phoenix historically just blows up their teams anyways. Like, let's be honest, they haven't been really well managed historically. So you never know.
No, I agree. So okay, so for now we're gonna agree that Luka is better.
I think Luka today, Tatum in 5 years. Yeah.
But my question
I'm thinking more two. I'm thinking 2 years.
No, I'm saying when we look back 5 years from now,
right?
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my thinking is that currently Luka is, as an individual player, he is good on his own. Obviously not good enough to carry a team to the finals, but he's almost done that alone. Like, but Tatum, I feel like he's quite reliant on his fellow teammates, which is good. You should be. But do you think if in a year, next season or following season, if he and Jaylen Brown were split, and he had to do a lot of that on his own, how do you think he would fare? Does he need that kind of duo to keep going versus a Luka who he can kind of mesh with whoever he has?
Well, we're talking about a guy in Jaylen and Jason Tatum who, when Jaylen Brown is out of the lineup, he's 30-8 when he's out of the lineup. And that's over 10 games that he's played. He has not been in the lineup. I'm talking about a guy that's 30-8. So I can clearly get my shot off. I can clearly do my thing, not just on the offensive end, but on the defensive end of the floor. In fact, what I'm showing when I'm 30-8 is you can build it around me. I'm the guy that you can build it around, and I'm the guy that you can run it through. Now, the reason why this thing is working in Boston is because these guys have now meshed and roles were established. All right, you're going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then there's going to come a time when you're going to have to step up and I'll take a step back. Then there's going to come a time when I'm going to step up and then you're going to take a step back. And I said this before and I stand on it. We have to establish who we're writing the songs for. Both of us can't be at the microphone at the same time. We can't.
Yeah.
So one of us has to step back from the microphone. So
to have a team in today's NBA, to have a successful team in today's NBA, no one wins it alone. No one's going to the finals and winning it alone. So we know that Tatum can, in the regular season, 30-8. We can win when he doesn't have his second person. We know that when he does have his second person, he also can play as that teammate, whether it's, hey, it's your turn to go. Okay, now it's my turn to go. Because we've seen him do it, him and Jaylen Brown. What we haven't seen from Luka, we've seen him be able to carry a team by himself to a certain point. We haven't. Now, I'm not saying he can't. We haven't seen him do it with someone.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting when another – listen, everybody in the NBA – this is the thing I always remind people. The likelihood of making the NBA, okay, you are more likely to be struck by lightning twice.
Not once.
Two times. So why is that important? Well, because everybody in the NBA was the best player in their high school, was one of the best players at their university, was like, right? They're all alphas. Mm-hmm. So what happens when another alpha comes into Dallas? How will that affect Luka? Again, I'm not saying negative. I'm just saying we don't know how he's going to do it. We do know with Tatum that he can do it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens if and when, hopefully when, they upgrade that roster.
Yeah. I have a feeling something's coming next season. I mean, they did a great job this season, but we'll see what happens. But I mean, that's pretty much all I had for today, unless either of you have any closing thoughts or and you guys in the chat, make sure to put kind of what you want to hear next week as well, if you have any specific topics
for next I want to ask a question to Garp the Fisted, just because he's in the chat here. Not a super chat, Garp. Come on, Garp. Okay, hope you guys said the same for LeBron. What does that mean? What do you mean? Tell me what that means. Tell me what that means. How about this? So you got Boston. We both have Boston and the Warriors making it to the finals.
I do.
You want to save it for Tuesday, our finals preview, or you want to give a way too early pick?
Well, we've already said it, so it's not like it's something that
we're not jinxing anything.
Yeah, we already gave it up, so it's not like it's a situation where we kind of, hey, Haley, I think that the Celtics and the already gave it up. So
yeah,
it's if you want to talk about it, we can talk about it, no doubt.
Yeah.
So
all right. So Tuesday we'll do our finals. Tuesday we'll do our finals preview. All right. Let's see. Before LeBron joined Miami, how did you view him?
I viewed him as a franchise player. I didn't view him any different when he got on the Miami team. I didn't view him any differently than I did in Cleveland. In fact, I was actually happy when he got to Miami because I saw him with a bunch of guys that he could play off of, that could play off of him, that would make his game even better, and it did.
My issues with LeBron have never been on the court or the decisions he has made. I've said this multiple times. If he stayed in Cleveland, like never left Cleveland, he would have been lucky to win one chip, and that's because the front office is useless. So I don't blame him for leaving and going to Miami at all. Now, I didn't like the whole decision, the whole kind of what they did, that whole production, I think was dumb. But I always said he's a franchise guy. I'm curious to see how he's going to be. I said the same thing that I'm saying about Luka. I want to see how he plays with another superstar because he's never really had. Like, if you think about it, his best players were early on was what? Ilgauskas, Mo Williams. You know, like
Larry Hughes.
Yeah, guys who were definitely like role players. Good guys could score. Like, they all had good attributes, but they were always role players. When he said he's going to Miami with Wade and Bosch, I was like, okay, well, here's the best player in Toronto. Here's the best player on Miami. that teams were built around these two guys. How is it going to work? And let's be honest, it didn't work very well at first.
It didn't look good at all.
Until they figured it out, which was year two. Oh, and then it was great. But year one, it took some, there was an adjustment period. So yeah,
what was that figuring out, Tone? That figuring out was, yo, you gotta be you. You gotta be the dude.
Yeah.
You've gotta be the guy. Can't be, oh, I'm sort of the guy. I'm, like I just said, who are we writing the songs for? All three of us can't be at the microphone at the same time. Who are we writing the songs for? So if you're gonna sing, we're gonna be back here. But if you're gonna sing, then I'm gonna stand behind you. So it's not gonna just be all of us, or just, we gotta figure out who the guy is. And once they figured out that it was James, they were off.
Yeah, I think, and listen, that was, it's almost to James's credit and his detriment, because he kind of came into Miami, because I think if they all went to a different team, it would have happened faster. He would have said, hey, this is, you know, but he kind of went to Miami. He's like, okay, this is Wade's team. He's my friend. Mm-hmm. He already won a chip here. So this is your team. I'll be the second guy. That's not, I don't think he plays well at that time in that secondary role, and it didn't work. And once Dwayne, I think it was actually Wade who said to him, hey, dude, this is your team. Lead us. Then it obviously started to work. So,
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, we had a great show today. I loved the Tatum and Luka discussion for many
years. That's right.
Just
leave Book right out of it. Leave Book right out.
Okay. You're right. I'm sorry. But I love Book. I'm from there. I've always liked him since he's played there. But,
But he's got the Jenner curse, right? Is that a...
Apparently. I don't know much about that. But it was good. It was good discussion. You guys drop in the chat. And if you come to any of our platforms, let us know any ideas you want to hear about on Tuesday. But yeah, we'll definitely dive into the finals predictions and all that has to offer.
Yes, sir.
I'm excited.
So until Tuesday, Jay,
take it light, but take
you guys
it.
Guys, later.